Stanley, will you turn that TV off? I don't want to see any more celebrities eating the part of a kangaroo that definitely shouldn't be eaten. And there's definitely more to life than wondering, why do Ant and Dec always stand in alphabetical order? Yes, we've got a podcast to make. Welcome to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, a twice-monthly roundup of public health news with a few old jokes thrown in for good measure. Not that there's been much to laugh about lately, with bird flu hitting the headlines and Ebola looking like it'll stay there for many months to come. The first outbreak of H5N8 bird flu in Europe certainly stirred the press up, with turkeys in Germany, chickens in Holland and ducks in Yorkshire all affected. Headlines varied from the Daily Telegraph's mildly alarming, "Why bird flu is nothing to worry about yet," to the Daily Express's "Very seasonal Christmas turkey supply could be ruined if bird flu spreads," warn experts. Nothing like threatening the nation's Christmas dinners to get everybody taking notice, eh? Experts are still wondering quite how the infection, which had previously only been seen in South Korea, spread to Europe, although migrating wild birds seem to be the most likely route. They are, though, reassuring the public by confirming that while in theory H5N8 can be transmitted to humans, no cases have ever been confirmed. The virus is highly contagious to birds, leading all three countries involved in the current outbreak to start a culling programme aimed at keeping the infection at bay. Environmental health teams in Yorkshire have also been doing their bit in reassuring local communities and businesses within the 3 kilometre exclusion zone declared around the affected farm. Well, all that's been going on, the outbreak of Ebola in West Africa claimed its 5,000th victim last week, prompting Bob Geldof to get involved revamping the 1984 hit "Do They Think It's Christmas?" with a host of new stars to raise money for Ebola charities. There have been no cases of virus in the UK up until now, although a man suffering from similar symptoms at Hereford County Hospital hit the headlines as the first UK patient to be tested for Ebola. Thankfully, tests on the man who had a history of travel to West Africa proved negative. Health and safety now, and a new government consultation is calling for higher fines for breaches of the law, following a recommendation by the Sentencing Council for England and Wales, who want large companies found guilty to be slapped with fines appropriate to their turnover. Seems fair enough to us. It could mean, in the case for corporate manslaughter, fines up to £20 million for companies with a turnover over £50 million or more. If introduced, the same scale of fines could also be used for food hygiene offences, where it's long been a bone of contention with me that large multinationals are subject to the same penalties as the corner shop. It's been difficult to get away from poultry stories over the past couple of weeks, and here comes another one, as the Food Standards Agency prepared to release the results of their survey of Campylobacter in chickens on sale in UK supermarkets. Leaked figures suggest that 59% of birds tested were contaminated with the bug, leading one Public Health England expert to call on the industry to do more to protect consumers. Dr. Frieda Jorgensen told The Guardian that companies should look at freezing chickens to remove 90% of contamination, while also pointing the finger at the process of thinning, where farmers slaughter part of a flock to meet a retailer's demand for smaller chickens before later slaughtering the rest, which is a particular problem for causing infections. Figures are due out from the FSA shortly, when we'll also find out if they're going to name and shame the supermarkets involved. Now, even if you are a Public Health England expert, you have to be a little careful with quoting figures. Anybody remember that old ad campaign that said this disinfectant kills 99% of all known germs? When we all know, of course, it's the 1% that kill you. Now, the FSA are not exactly our favourite organisation, and they've done nothing to enhance their reputation by telling Environmental Health News that they're finally fully behind the compulsory display of food hygiene ratings in England, having seen the success of the measure in Wales and Northern Ireland. They'll now be looking to introduce legislation to force food businesses to prominently display their ratings to the public, yes, more than 5 years after the scheme was introduced. Just a little too late. Staying with food, and Shadow Food Minister Hugh Aranga-Davies has warned that cuts to Environmental Health Services have put the UK in danger from another horsemeat scandal. His words come as Walsall unveiled £351,000 worth of cuts to regulatory services, including environmental health. Thurrock Council has admitted it may have to stop some of its statutory environmental health services, and Liverpool Environmental Health may have to stop inspecting lower-risk food firms. Oh, and also while Burnley has become the latest authority to outsource its environmental health service. Mr. Aranga-Davies said, "We do need to put it back together, and that includes things like food safety, nutrition and diet and labelling and consumer transparency. Those things were split asunder when the coalition government came in." Another case of shutting the stable door after the was bolted? Well, we'll have to wait and see. Now, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, or so the proverb says. Despite all the hoo-ha of London 2012, it appears that's the case for the London Borough of Newham, which houses, of course, the Olympic Park, because recently it was declared the least active borough in Britain. The organisation UK Active found about 4 in every 10 adults in Newham failed to do even 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise a week. This is despite a government pledge to use the 2012 game to create a lasting legacy of fitness. Richmond-upon-Thames got a gold star as the most active borough, followed by Wandsworth and Leeds City. And perhaps those temporary residents in Westminster might like to think on and note that their borough wasn't even in the top 30. Finally this week, open wide. Yes, just a little wider. Now, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. We couldn't help but smile at the headline, "Poor people have fewer teeth than rich, study suggests," on the BBC website. It's the result of research which involved 6,000 people, which showed oral health was substantially worse amongst the poorest 20% compared to the richest. The research concluded that those with lower income, lower occupational class, higher deprivation and lower educational attainment generally had the worst clinical outcomes. Another entry into Grandad's big book of stating the bleeping obvious, I feel. But also, a good excuse with Christmas around the corner to go out with this. See you in a fortnight.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. My two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
I'm a Public Health Professional. Get Me Out of Here is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Two front teeth, my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.